This is Vandana Shiva, and you're listening to the Enviro Show. Remember, listen to your mother. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
Greetings, Earthlings. It's another Summer Solstice Enviro Show. I am one of your co-hosts, Deal, and I'm not in the studio with...
Hey, this is Glenn Ayers. Happy Solstice.
Indeed. And perhaps by the time you hear this, Solstice will be behind us, and S2288 and H3549 and S2287 and H3548 biomass bills will already have come before the hearing of the Mass Joint Committee on Telecommunications, Utilities, and Energy. Who knows? Our guest, Susan Theberge, she spoke there and testified. So did I for the show. And let's see where biomass issue goes from here. It's still here, the Springfield zombie biomass monster. So Susan will join us, answer some of our burning questions. Well, you know what? That brings us right to our quote of the week. Quote, any fool can make a rule, and any fool will mind it. And that was a great, thorough quote. I guess that takes us to our interview.
All right. Well, this interview is really good with Susan Theberge. And really, we're talking about the zombie biomass incinerator. And she does refer to it as a plant, but I don't like to use that term. And I did mention that while she was talking at one point. But you have to think of this as an idiotic contraption to burn forests. And it's an incinerator. It's incinerating forest trees. So let's get into the interview, and then we can talk more about it on the other side.
Okay, EnviroShare listeners, Susan Theberge of Climate Action Now joins us. And we both testified a few days back on the Joint Committee on Telecommunications, Utilities, and Energy regarding two biomass bills. And Susan's also deeply involved with Springfield Climate Justice Coalition about the zombie biomass plant in Springfield. So Susan, welcome back to the show. I think it's been years, but welcome back. And we both testified at the committee hearing. Susan was, I believe, testifying for Springfield Climate Justice Coalition, and I was for the show and for trees as a public good. So Susan, welcome back to the show, and maybe give folks a brief rundown of what you're up to, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty about the zombie biomass plant.
Well, both Climate Action Now, Western Mass, and Springfield Climate Justice Coalition are, if anything, stronger than ever on doing everything we possibly can at the local and state level to protect our ecosystem as we face these multiple assaults on us at the federal level. But there's a lot that we can do at the state and local level. And we are calling on our elected officials and saying, hey, you know, we together need to do more than we can imagine on climate and climate justice, because it is, we are the place that's holding the line. And we are fortunate to be in Massachusetts, where we actually can continue, and if anything, really intensify our work, both to protect our ecosystem and also to be creating systems of support and preparing and creating safety. And one of the things that Climate Action Now is working on is a program where we can have folks in the community supporting farmers in our area. when there are emergencies or when there are climate resiliency projects that they need help with, or just overall community support showing up when there's a need. And we are trying to develop a system. We're looking at all the, you know, legal implications of that, because farms, you know, accidents can happen on farms. We want everyone to be safe and protected. And we feel like that's an example of the kind of mutual aid and support that we need to be creating for this moment when the federal system is simply not meeting people's needs. And we have a number of other projects going on where we're in the process of bringing to fruition a community project to build a Miyawaki forest that's a tiny little forest that acts as this mini ecosystem, stabilizing the climate, you know, cooling down the heat island effect of being in an urban center, and you know, brings birds and insects and that whole world. It's particularly wonderful in urban areas where it can really have impact. So we are starting a pilot project in Northampton and hoping that that is like a seed for a whole lot of these projects. This is an international venture, actually, and it was developed in Japan, and it has really become a worldwide phenomenon. So we're jumping into that, and we also have a wildlands protection program. We are working with numerous organizations and groups to come together and protect as much wildland, which means land that is not being, you know, forested in any way, or not being human hands or not manipulating the ecosystem, but letting forests grow and play the incredibly important role that we need right now in everything from climate stabilization to water, to regulating our water systems, to sequestering carbon, and all of the incredible ecosystem benefits that forests bring us. So we are working very passionately in that realm, while at the same time we are focused on both stopping the proposed Eversource pipeline, which would go through numerous environmental justice communities in Springfield. And we have been working on that for, this whole process started in 2017. It was Columbia Gas at the time. And we had, people had come together and actually stopped the first part of Columbia Gas's project. But now the continuing project would literally build pipeline, really toxic pipeline, gas pipelines, at a time when we need to be completely getting off of fossil fuels, and through environmental justice communities in Springfield. So we've already been deeply engaged in that fight. And now the zombie biomass plant, which I'll talk about it in a few minutes, is coming back to haunt us. We also, of course, are getting involved in the fight to protect our democracy and our rights, and are doing all that we can to bring organizations together so that we are one unified people's movement that comes together with a common purpose, with a total commitment to nonviolence, and with a deep principle that we need to work together on the one big thing that we agree on, which is putting a stop to the extraordinary assault on all of life that the Trump administration is bringing about, and that we don't have to agree on anything more than we need to come together as the majority of people in this country and say, we need to stop this assault, and we can do so much better. We could build such a better world. And of course, this is all highlighted by the fact that we are facing the unthinkable possibility of nuclear weapons being used in Iran. And if there's anything that's a complete, if there's anything that can really, in a moment's time, destroy the ecosystem that we all depend upon to live in, it's using nuclear weapons and engaging in more war. So being moving beyond competition and working and aggression and the taking of other people's land and resources and the oppression of people around the world at a time when we're facing a climate emergency at the level that we're facing, this is a moment for the world to come together so that we continue to have an ecosystem that supports life. So that's a few of the things we're working on. We have other projects as well. We have lots of different working groups, and we're going full steam ahead on our climate justice, climate protection work at the same time that we realize that we have this larger issue where we all need to come together.
Susan, this is Glenn. Let me ask a question. I guess you're calling it the zombie biomass plant, but mm-hmm. I don't think plant is the right word. It's an incinerator. It's a forest yes. incinerator.
Yes, it is.
So the zombie forest incinerator proposed in the Springfield area, it's actually kind of in an environmental justice community where they want to locate it. And this is what's also referred to as Palmer Renewable Energy, PRE. I remember testifying down in Springfield about that, must have been mm-hmm. 10 years ago, mm-hmm. When there were hearings before DEP and the yeah. EPA. It's being called a zombie incinerator because it has mm-hmm. died so many times. The question I have is that I remember when Maura Healey, you know, I can remember so far back that Maura Healey was our attorney general here in Massachusetts, and she was actually very opposed to contaminating the greater Springfield area with all of this pollution from the biomass incinerator. And her lead for the Office of the Environment in the Attorney General's office was Melissa Hoffer. And Melissa Hoffer was also very opposed to this incinerator being put in this environmental justice community. And yet here we are again now, how many years later, 15 years later, still talking about this. But Maura Healey is now the governor and Melissa Hoffer is the climate chief. And this whole thing is like Kafkaesque. It's insane that we're still wasting our time talking about this dirty biomass incinerator being shoved down the collective environmental justice throats of the population in Western Mass here, when, you know, we have officially killed all of the other proposed biomass incinerators that were previously proposed during the Deval Patrick administration.
Right.
And again, it's the zombie because it keeps coming back to life or to death, really, or
right.
threatening
exactly.
death. And so how did we get to this point and what can we do about it? I mean, it seems like the only reason why this zombie is still struggling and kicking and not breathing, but polluting or potentially polluting, is that there's incentives that are being provided through renewable energy credits. And in this case, I think it's thermal energy that they're claiming they're going to use somehow. I don't know what they're going to do. They're not going to be heating up soup for the homeless people. They're going to be heating up the entire neighborhood down there with this incinerator. But anyway, what do we need
Yes.
to do to finally kill the zombie, to chop its head off, essentially, and kill the thing forever?
Okay, so let me just give a quick overview of the incredible amount of organizing and passion and education that has gone on over the past 15 years about biomass and led by folks in Springfield. Arise for Social Justice was created and led by Michael Ann Busey, who is just an extraordinary community organizer. She died a number of years ago. And like the total example of what we're talking about of heart and lung disease, she was always so aware of the quality of the air and of the impact on the climate of biomass. And so there was a big movement to stop biomass, which involved Greenfield and other local communities where people were able to stop biomass plants. And in Springfield, we literally 15 years, we have been fighting this. It's come up every time Palmer Renewable Energy, which is was a small company, but was since bought out by a large corporation. So my guess is they have very high powered lawyers, because the way that we have worked, Springfield Climate Justice Coalition, with all of the groups that we work with, and Climate Action Now and groups across the state, we teamed up with a Partnership for Policy Integrity, an organization created by Mary Booth, actually at the start of the biomass fight. And so we have a statewide group that, this was during the pandemic. Once again, this issue had come up about deciding that they were going to build the plant, despite that delay in the building permits. And we fought so hard. And I think because the impact of the Black Lives Matter movement, I think, really raised the consciousness of a lot of white climate activists about what is environmental justice and how and why do we need to really take this into consideration in all of our climate work. And we had incredible support in actually changing the regulations so that dirty, toxic biomass energy, which is actually worse than burning coal in terms of the climate and has extraordinary impacts on public health. And so public health folks are among our strongest advocates in terms of not just asthma, but again, heart and lung disease. There's just a number of extreme toxins. And Springfield has a history of being named one of the top cities, dubious award, one of the top cities in the country for asthma severity and impact on the community. And at one time we were first in the nation, then we dropped down a little bit, Springfield dropped down a bit. And now most recently, as Springfield is the fourth, number four in asthma capitals of the United States. So this is an extremely serious thing. So we were able to win excellent language so that burning biomass is no longer considered green energy. And that's in the basic, the renewable portfolio standards, which encompasses most things. But in Massachusetts, we have a number of municipal light plants, and those are under community control. And this is the fight that we're fighting right now, is that we have legislation that would take, because still in the municipal light plant regulation, they still have this loophole where they can count biomass as clean energy when the science is just crystal clear. I encourage people to go to the Partnership for Policy Integrity website and you can read more science for hours and hours and hours, all the research that's been done on this. So we are faced with, it's already not considered in other realms of the government clean energy, but still if you have a municipal light plant in your city and the folks who run it agree, they could still receive green energy credits for biomass. And this is a loophole and we have got to take it out. And that loophole, and we have legislation for that loophole would actually stop Palmer Renewable Energy from being able to fund themselves, because they need commitments from municipal light plants if they want to move forward. And so The priority bill that we're working on right now is S2288H3549, and that would essentially closes the loophole that allows municipal light plants to count biomass power toward their climate and clean energy goals. And we would start it on January 1st, 2026. Now, this is really also important because we won a very big victory almost 5 years ago, where we had an agreement that there would be no biomass plants built within 5 miles of an environmental justice community while the city was conducting another study, and there would just be a stop to it for 5 years. And people were, of course, so thrilled that we won this victory because it seemed to stop Palmer Renewable Energy from building their plant, and they lost all their contracts with municipal light plants because they weren't building the pipeline and the time ran out. But we knew, and we did, and I know Dio, you certainly raised this warning that this is not a long-term solution, and the 5 years is drawing to a close. So we, working with the Conservation Law Foundation, as Glenn said, we had won the case that these old building permits were no longer valid. The ones that were like from years and years ago were no longer valid, and also the air quality permits. And so now, all of a sudden, two of the factors that were the most protective to stopping this plant, they got overturned in court. People were actually shocked because the cases were so strong. And that is another mystery, is how did these two cases suddenly get overturned? But I have no information on that. So we have this legislation, and we are asking people throughout the state to contact their legislators and ask them to support this bill. It's S2287H3548. That would limit subsidies for wood heating in the state's alternative portfolio standard, and as well as the other bills. And I think that in the show notes, the details about the bills can be put in there. And also, if you sign up for the Climate Action Now newsletter, climateactionnowma.org, we make sure to keep people posted on all of this. So we have a statewide campaign, and Mass Power Forward, which is an organization of 200 environmental justice-oriented organizations throughout the state that are working to address climate change through legislation at the state level. This fight is the top endorsed bill of Mass Power Forward, and Climate Action Now, it's definitely one of our priority bills. And so right now we need to get folks to co-sign onto this legislation.
Susan, thanks so much for being on the show and updating us on all of this activism that's happening. And for folks who want to find out more about Climate Action Now, Western Mass, how do they find you online?
Well, go to climateactionnowma.org. We've actually been redoing our website. You know, we're still working out some of the kinks, but we have completely redone it. We hope it's a lot more accessible. And we particularly encourage people to sign up to receive our newsletter, online newsletter, which comes out, it really comes out as needed. So, some weeks there might be a lot going on. Other times it's slower, but we are always there when there's action and there's developments and, letting people know, not just about what Climate Action Now is doing, but really supporting all of the amazing work that's going on here in Western Massachusetts to address climate justice issues and the climate emergency. So we just love people getting involved at whatever level you can. And so check out our website, sign up for our newsletter, and come join our community under the tent, and let's build a better world together.
Excellent.
Yeah, Susan, thanks so much again. And I'll see you there on the 30th
Great.
In Florence.
I'm so glad you're coming. Great. Wonderful.
All right.
Super.
Well, that was great having Susan back on the show. It's been a long time.
Yeah, she's, it sounds like she is, well, maybe she's either cloned herself or she should, because it sounds like she is doing an unbelievable amount of activism. Shows what you can do when you're really motivated to make a difference. And I'm always impressed by the amount of stuff that they're doing with her involvement with Climate Action Now, Western Mass, and also with the Springfield Climate Justice Coalition and other things as well. So great to have Susan on the show. She's really an inspiration for everyone and just shows, you know, if you care and you want to do something about it, there are really plenty of opportunities to plug in and get involved, but get active and make a difference.
All right.
This show, The Enviro Show, has been on the air for, well, will be on the air for 20 years, sometime in August. Yep. And, you know, a few months ago, we passed our 500th episode of original material. So that is something to celebrate.
It is. Let's do that. And let's also remember to listen to your mother. This is Dio saying adios till next time.
And I'm Glenn Ayers. Remember, folks, get active.
I am Mother Earth, and I approve of this message.